Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. I'm your host, Jason Tardik, and welcome to the pre-market trading segment. Today's guest is Serena Kerrigan. If you have ever doubted yourself or live with any bit of insecurities or have any form of issue trying to make your goals in life a reality, if you have 1 ounce of it, you will take something away from this episode. Serena Kerrigan is an actress, an influencer, a producer, a director. Her parents, which you'll learn about, are both very involved in Hollywood. You'll hear all about that. But she is the queen of confidence in her business endeavors, in her entrepreneurial spirit, and even throwing her own birthday parties. So I promise you, whether it is in your personal or dating life, whether it is in your professional navigation, whether it is managing your finances, or overall just trying to seek more happiness, there is something you will be able to take away from Serena's disposition on life and what has got her to where she is and where she believes she's going. And you'll hear about where she believes she's going. It's a whole lot of action out there. Whole lot of action. So I'm also coming in live right now, and I'm coming in live from Miami Beach at F1. I'm here with Raising Cane's, and we are going to be interviewing the founder, who is a billionaire from selling chicken fingers in 800 plus locations. If you haven't heard of Raising Cane's, you'll have to try it out. But I will tell you, stay tuned to the recap, because I talk about some of the parties that I've been at, some of the people that are there, and then what you can expect from that Raising Cane's episode, because trust me when I tell you, I don't think I've ever had an experience like this. It has been crazy. Now, one little piece of information I'll give you from the market. Right now, it's a very interesting time to be considering renting, because in some of the largest cities right now, it is making more financial sense to actually rent than buy. So if you live in a big city, I could show you in a calculation that will show you it's officially better to rent than buy. The monthly cost of renting across all 50 of the largest metro statistical areas is 37% cheaper than buying a typical home. This is all according to Bankrate. As of February, the typical monthly mortgage payment of a median price home in the US was $2,700, while the typical monthly rent nationally was $1,900. So there's some wild information for you as it relates to renting and buying. And then another thing I'd like to tell you about that I find quite interesting, 29% of households have jobs but struggle to cover the basic needs. This is another example of inflation working against us, not for the money that we're earning, but for our costs. We need to be negotiating for ourselves, and we need to be negotiating for where we're spending money. Now, you guys know where I am, F1 this weekend with Raising Cane's. Todd Graves, the founder, he'll be coming on. Make sure you stay tuned to this recap. It's a good one. But enough of me, enough of Miami Beach, enough of price to rent ratios. Let's get in to this episode with the queen of confidence, Serena Kerrigan. Welcome back to another episode of Trading Secrets. Today, we are joined by entrepreneur, digital content creator, and 2024 Forbes 30 Under 30 for social media, Serena Kerrigan. 2024, I mean, that is fresh off the press. Serena is best known for dishing out dating advice to her audience of nearly 1 million followers across TikTok, Instagram, and other social media platforms. We might even have to dabble into dating topics today. But in addition to her success in content creation, Serena launched her sex positive brand, SFKLFG LLC, aka Serena Fucking Kerrigan, Let's Fucking Go, in 2020, which includes Let's Fucking Date card games, a spinoff from her Instagram live dating show, which we'll talk about, that she turned into product launches of 3 different card games for consumers to buy. Four now. All right. I got to get my podcast editor updating this stuff. 4. We'll talk about it. In addition to her retail success, she launched another expansion within her SFK brand with SFK TV, a members-only platform for her own exclusive long-form content this past fall, which she describes as the future of TV. We'll get into the dollar and cents about that. But having cemented her reputation as the queen of confidence, we're going to put that confidence to the test and see if this successful businesswoman will talk money while making sure our audience can learn how simple things such as speaking to yourself in the mirror can create confidence, determination, and success as an entrepreneur. Serena, thank you so much for being on Trading Secrets.
Obsessed with the intro.
How are we feeling after that?
I'm feeling really good.
You've done a lot of fucking good things in your career.
I know.
Huh?
I'm like, whoa, like list them out, baby. Celebrate the wins.
Exactly. We're going to get into the wins because it's pretty wild how it all started. So if you're listening, stay tuned to that. But what we want to get into is a most recent win. I can't believe I missed it. It was your RIP to my 20s birthday party. You and I talked about it when we were in Jalisco with Patron celebrating. And what I saw from the picture, like I had expectations for this party. Mm-hmm. Those expectations were blown the fuck away.
Did you have FOMO?
I had FOMO. I mean, I was in St. Bart's that weekend and I still had FOMO.
Damn.
Okay. But you know, we talk money here. So tell me.
Are you going to be like, how much does it cost?
Of course, 300 people. Talk to me about the event planning process, the cost of it. And then just, listen, I think about this stuff. Return.
Yeah.
What's the return?
Oh,
walk
me
through it, Serena.
Okay. To give a little context, especially if you don't follow me, you should.
Confidence right there.
Right. I went to Duke for college. Best place ever.
Not a big deal.
Literally obsessed. And created this persona called SFK, and which is Serena fucking Kerrigan. Larger than life. I was feeling insecure. I needed this persona to help me. And then that really ended up becoming my brand. But the way that it became more than a persona and this kind of larger than life moment was when I threw this birthday party called HBD SFK LFG. Happy birthday, Serena fucking Kerrigan. Let's fucking go. Mm-hmm. I transformed Shooter Saloon, which is like the best bar in America, into this like red carpet, like just like iconic. Everyone did get dressed up, glitz and glam. Like, and so I really created this event where really the ethos of this persona is to take something that's ordinary and make it extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And so the same way I did that with myself and my confidence, I did it with this party and with this like saloon in the South. We created this very glam moment. And I said it was like the Met Gala of the South. And then every year, I just continue to throw the party. And because I think that it's also very in line with my brand that I think like, celebrating your birthday is like celebrating your life and celebrating yourself. And that's why I love it, because it's that one day where you get to be like, it's my fucking birthday. Right. And I think that that is part of this narrative of like, how do you build self-love? Number one, you got to celebrate the day you're born. Mm. I don't get when people are like, I hate my birthday. Do you hate your birthday?
No.
Like, of course not. Like,
I'm not a birthday king or queen.
That's fine.
You know, I'm not going to make a whole week of it, but right. Like on my birthday, we're going ham. We're going to have a day.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that that's a really like first step. So every year I threw this party, and I mean, like I did it for very limited budget for years and years and years. And then
what was the first age that you said like
21.
I'm throwing? Okay. So 21
you started.
Interesting.
And it was free.
Okay. Now at this time though, if we're going back 9 years, your Instagram, social media platform, doesn't exist.
No. Yeah. It's like very,
this
it's
is
not,
just
this
who
is college,
you the fuck
college.
Are.
Who the
okay.
I went to the I was I'm scrappy. I went to the owner of the bar and I go, I want to do a private event. I'm gonna tell everyone I rented out, but she and I became like close friends. And I was like, we're gonna have the SFK shot. Like people will buy drinks, we'll do an open bar for like 2 hours, but like that everyone's gonna buy drinks for the rest of the night. Like it's gonna feel so exclusive, so amazing. And she just was like, done, let's do it. And
okay.
I created like my own shot there and everything. And then I did that again the next year. And then I graduated from Duke. And then I was in Manhattan. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, how am I going to throw this party?
So you got to throw this party in Manhattan. 2020 is really when you pop off on social media or
correct.
Start to feed this. When is the first time you throw a party? Is it 2020 when you have social media? Or is it like literally right when you come from Duke? You're like,
No. I've thrown
I'm
this
here.
Party for 10, like literally every single year. I come home from Duke. I'm 22. I'm turning 23. And I got the Gray Lady. Have you ever been to the Gray Lady in
no,
Lower East Side? Okay, great. And I thought that I was renting out a room for free, which doesn't make sense. But like, again, like I'm young, I'm living at home, like I'm back from college. I don't even know how the world works. I feel like it's forever ago. And I remember I called them. I was like, I'd like the private room. They're like, you know, problem. And I was like, how much is it? They're like, it's free. And I was like, really? I was like, okay, cool. I remember I came all the way from the Upper West Side down to the Lower East Side with balloons in my hand. Like, and I get to the front and I'm like, I'm here for my party. And they're like, where's your ID? I forgot my ID.
Oh,
and they like,
did,
they were giving me a really hard time. And I'm like,
It's my name.
Look at the
door.
Balloons. Yeah. Like literally, like I'm like, yeah. It's my birthday. Don't you know this? They're like, okay, like you need your ID. Like you better get it downtown. My mom ended up coming to all, but she wanted to kill me. Whatever. I walk inside and I'm like, where's my private fucking room? They're like this. And it was literally like a bench and there were already like a million jackets on it. And I was like, what? And they're like, this is your section. And I was like, what is this? And like, I don't know, but I ended up putting up my balloons.
Okay.
And I got personal, every year I do personalized M&Ms, just like okay. with my face on them or just like HPS of Kev, whatever. And I got custom Snapchat filters made. So I guess I probably spent all in all, probably maybe like $500 on my party.
Okay. Night. So let's fast forward to 30. Come on, Queen of Confidence. How many people?
300.
Where was it?
The Skylark.
How did it, was alcohol unlimited?
Patron.
Okay. So there was a sponsorship. We love it.
This was the first year I got the entire party sponsored.
Okay. What other, did you have an event planner?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
No, you don't understand the staff I had on this party. It was actually.
How many total people on staff?
First of all,
total staff. Give it to me, Serena. 10?
Let me just say more.
20.
Staff that night. Oh, I wish you were there. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I only saw pictures. All right.
I mean, it was like two girls from LA, the M edit. They're amazing. If you ever like need a party plan in LA, your book card, whatever.
They
flew to New York twice and they did it completely like,
fuck me.
Honestly, at a discount because they fucking knew what was going to happen. Like they were going to bring it. They're going to get business.
Well, you got people flying in. I mean, usually when you, I've no, seen those people, contracts, think, the wedding contracts, when they fly in, you got to get them first class. You got to get them a hotel. You got to get them a stipend.
They did that. All right, can 60, I be honest with you?
Yeah,
I don't.
They did it free.
They offered.
They offered.
I paid them.
In social media.
But
trade.
They were like, they paid for their flight.
50 grand. 40 grand.
I need to text my COO, but let me put it this way. Here we go.
You have a COO.
Of course. I'm wow. Serena fucking Kerrigan. This is an empire, baby. Do I have a COO?
I love it. Unbelievable.
I would say, okay, let me think. Because I know I had Maybelline sponsor, Patron, and Tresemme.
Damn.
I would say it was under 50K.
So did you make money on your party?
No.
Okay. So under 50K.
I've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
So this was a big, to me, this was the year that solidified. First of all, I believe in this.
Yeah.
If you can prove yourself once, you can do it again and again. The beginning, when I started out as SFK, no brand wanted to work with me.
Sure, of course.
I think that Dove like passed on me because they're like, her name's fucking like, fuck
that.
Yeah,
of course.
And I was like, I thought you're all about like real women. Like if you took a second to understand the brand, then you would buy in.
Totally.
But you didn't, that's on you, whatever.
Right.
I just remember I said to my managers over and over again, like, I just need one. I just need one. I'll prove myself. And then I just need another. And I always think in life, like, that's how it is. Like, people don't want to give you a chance. But then if you just get one person, you get your foot in the door, then it's up to you to fucking, like, bang it out and get it done.
Yeah.
And I felt like the year prior, I had a birthday party for my 29th. It was Cosmic Orgasm themed.
Okay.
Because that was the year of my Saturn return. Yeah. I don't know how into astrology
you are. Yeah, a little bit. Dabble.
Okay, good. I love that.
Dabble. Just touch and go, you know?
Yes. So that I got... That was the first time I got a brand. It was Garnier to sponsor, to do people's hair at the party. They paid a little bit.
Yep.
But I was actually like
going
in the red.
Going out of pocket a little bit. Okay.
A little bit. I was like fucked for the whole year.
Oh, interesting.
A little
How
bit.
Much did you spend last year?
I want to give you like
confidence queen. Give
no,
it
it's
to
not
me.
About it's not about not wanting to say
me.
It out loud. It's more like I don't remember. Like I have a team to deal with.
Oh, I understand. Oh,
you know
so
what I mean?
It's not like
to,
it's not like you're being hesitant. You're just
at all. Like I can go get my phone.
Take
and text.
A shot. 20 grand.
I think it had to
if
be
had to
around
guess?
Like 20
okay.
or 30.
Oh, I see what you're saying now. Okay,
so we went from 30 to 50.
Okay, so we had like Hannah Godwin came on this and she was on the show and she was talking about her wedding. I took a shot at her wedding. I'm like that had to be close to $500,000. She wouldn't give me the exact number, but what we did connect to it is from her wedding, they did, the PR team came back and said they did over 60 million impressions on that. And then in the recap, after we finished, I did all the analytical work to be like, even if she did spend $500,000, the amount that people would pay for 60 million impressions is astronomically higher. It's over 5 million. So do you have any idea or do you know about like the media success as it connects to like impressions and brand and things like that?
Had I known you were going to ask me all these questions, I would have come with a motherfucking report with a literal deck.
Okay.
But I didn't. So that's fine. I know that for me, what's important is like, I don't, first of all, I believe that everyone should be paid. I think nothing in life is free.
Yeah.
Even if people that are begged to work with me, I'm like, I'm at least paying you like minimum wage. Like, I don't believe that like people should ever work for free. And so I don't like asking for favors for free. I always, even my DJs who was like, one of them was literally my cousin who flew from LA, but I paid for her flight. Like, I always think like, Lannisters pay their debts, like Game of Thrones vibes. Like, you always just need to, like, because I don't want that over my back. I would never want somebody to be like, yeah, like I busted my ass and she didn't pay me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I hate that. However, I love a discount.
Yeah.
And I know that, like, this wasn't just a party. This was a story about, like, my youth and my life. The second you walked in, you felt like you were transported into a funeral. And I think that, like, death is, like, very touchy subject. But when you make it funny, when you poke fun at death, like, it becomes very, like, palatable and fun.
Sure, totally.
I mean, everyone showed up all dressed in all black.
Yeah.
Like, it was a fucking funeral. People were getting, I got paid for a tattoo artist this year.
I was going to say, you had a tattoo station.
People love
the
tattoos.
I saw a coffin cake. There was the shrine photo booth. I mean, you didn't leave anything out.
I didn't. I want it to be a 360 degree experience because I think that this will be like, I want it to be like Met Gala, white party, Heidi Klum Halloween party, SFK birthday.
Let's go.
And it will be. Like, it's 10 years in the making. We're just starting. You know what I mean? And I really think, like, there's not that much going on in March. Like, this is my weekend.
It's
my fucking Super Bowl.
Next year, I am coming to
Super
Bowl.
See, and that's the thing. Everyone makes a mistake.
Coming.
They don't come. And then the next morning, they're just like.
I know. I saw it.
Power comes in two. Think about Batman to Robin, Procter to Gamble, and Ben to Jerry. That's what I want you to think about when you think about Shopify. Shopify and you. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch of your online store to the first live store stage, all the way in between. They give you everything from the selling, the shipping supplies, promoting productivity programs, understanding the insights, and more. All the tools that the large corporations have, you now have at your fingertips. And entrepreneurs in over 175 countries are using Shopify. They power 10% of all e-commerce in the United States. So what you could do is sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/secrets, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/secrets now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. That is shopify.com/secrets.
All right, I got one more question on the birthday though. Social media, you're candid about wearing this diamond necklace. You said it was valued at $1 million. $1 million, okay? So you woke up, you black out, you party, that necklace, thank God, was still on your neck. But a lot of the money mafia was like, wait a second, how did she get the $1 million necklace? Did she pay for it? Was it designer? Did she get paid to wear it?
Did I pay for $1 million?
No. Do you have to like pay to rent it? Or did you have a jeweler give it to you? Give us the behind the scenes.
This is so funny. Okay. And I don't give a shit. Yeah. My friend is the owner of Maison Spoiled. Incredible name for a jewelry.
Yeah.
He's a jeweler in the business. It's a family business. He's incredible. This is the kicker. The day of my party, the diamonds, I wanted to wear diamonds. It's my 30th birthday. I was doing an outfit change.
This is
for God's
the SFK like, fucking party.
This is it. This is RIP,
if you
bitch.
Haven't learned back
like,
home.
Okay. So I was like, I'm waiting. And I asked to borrow. This is a great moment for talk about impressions to have all everything. I wore a custom outfit. Like everything obviously is going to be tagged a million times. Mm-hmm. Jewelry is easy. You wear it, you return it.
Sure. Okay.
My jewelry was stuck in California the day of, and it's a Saturday, so you can't bother people because they're not at work, they're not at the office. And I literally was like, what the fuck? Like, this dress, it just needs a banger of a necklace. And I texted him, and I was like, I need a necklace help.
So you paid nothing to wear it, but you're wearing the $1 million necklace.
I woke up with a $1 million necklace.
Did he wake
I returned
up with
it.
You?
No.
So
there was
God.
A bit of trust there.
Thank God.
Like a trust fall.
There's another note I have here that you went viral on TikTok for this video talking about all, you talk about all your exes. That's like a theme.
Yeah.
But the one of the stories that you shared was that an ex actually took you and your grandma out to breakfast and then retroactively Venmo charged you for grandma's meal. Now, this is so connected to my new book, Talk Money to Me, and the whole idea about talking money and feeling money. This was a little bit of a wild story. And so did you dramatize this or is this true?
Absolutely not.
Okay,
this
walk me through
so
this.
True. This was my boyfriend in 2019, so pre-pandemic. We didn't date for very long.
Give me an idea. How long were you dating when this event happened?
Like, we were like 3 or 4 months in.
3 or 4 months?
But this was the...
Okay. This was the you're out of
so
here.
So basically...
Was everything good before then?
No, when we started dating, he was in California, I was in New York, and he got laid off like right when we started talking.
Okay.
And then he decided he wanted to apply to business school. And he was like, I'm gonna, he's from New York originally. So he's like, I'm gonna come back to New York and apply for business school.
Okay.
And I think like, I learned something at a very important lesson, which is like, it's very important that when you're dating specifically a man, because that's who I date.
Yeah.
They need to have their career like in line.
Define in line.
I think
do you attribute in line? Because people listening to this, we have 80% women that listen to this show, but it's a business show. So when you say,
obviously. Yeah, you're women like, in business, you're baby. Like,
hey, let's go.
CEOs.
That gap is getting tight. And let me tell you, it's going to flip.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. So a lot of people listen to this and take advice from it. Define career in line. Is it earnings for you? Is it conversation?
Oh my God. Yeah,
what
let's
is
absolutely
it?
Like,
what
is no, it? It's just about, I think if we'd been dating for 3 years and he got laid off, probably wouldn't have been an issue. But I think it was the fact that like we were just starting this relationship, like just starting.
Yeah.
He gets laid off. I'm also like kind of like really, I was in a really good spot in my career.
What year is this?
This was 2019. So this is before I actually blew up, but I was like—
What were you doing for your career?
I was a producer at Refinery 29 for 3.5 years.
Producer for Refinery 29. Give us an idea how much you make for something like that. 90 grand?
That's so sweet. I was making maybe like 45, 50 grand.
Okay.
And I was a producer at Refinery 29.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why I left.
In New York City too.
In New York City. Okay. And I was living at home and I'd saved up and I finally moved to my Lower East Side apartment as we start dating, as he gets laid off. So he comes to moves to New York. He's living with his parents. And then he, I can't believe we're getting so into this, but I don't give a shit. And then he basically was like living with me.
Okay.
But like, living at his parents.
Okay.
And
living with you where?
In Lower. So I moved out. I went to Lower East Side.
But
it was
like
my first big
you.
Girl apartment.
Now, did you guys have a talk at all? Again, bringing it back to the book.
No,
did you talk at all about like, hey, you'll chip in for this or this are my expectations?
No,
or
no.
Like that?
And I think that this is like, I can't even tell you how different it is than my current boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who, you know, love.
Yeah,
like, I think that is actually 100% where it started to crumble was the lack of conversation. I believe bad communication ruins a lot of good things.
Yeah.
It's always about the communication.
Totally.
It's not about the subject
matter.
It's
the same matter. Thing with money. No, yeah.
Right?
Communication.
So I think like there wasn't talk about that. I think I felt also a lot of pressure because I felt like he didn't also have that many friends in New York. Suddenly I was like his life.
Yeah.
Like I was the reason.
That he was there,
yes.
What he was doing.
And I was like, then I get a sponsorship with Air France,
okay.
Which was so slight because I literally had like no followers. But that
How many
just
followers
goes to,
did you have?
I think maybe 12K.
What did the sponsorship, like what was
they
it?
They flew me to France.
Okay.
Two first class tickets.
Okay.
And then like that was really it.
Is it a trade or did you get paid too?
It was a trade.
Okay,
and I didn't
cool.
get paid. But back then like that was—
That's huge. Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, honestly, if it's like organic content, those flights are like 10, 15 grand. Yeah.
I don't go on business or first class. I'm spending on my fucking party. Like, I don't like, that's what you got to save. And, you know, so it's like, this was such a big moment for me. And I remember like, I was like, okay, I want to bring my boyfriend. Now, see, this is a thing. And I think like, I always think about this too, in terms of like being in your feminine energy and like making money and like women in those kinds, how do you deal with this? Like my boyfriend feels emasculated because he doesn't have a job. But I want to invite my boyfriend to France, with Air France. So I invite him. He's so excited. And then there's a hotel situation. And like, I pay for the hotel. He doesn't. And I don't really think, like, I don't remember. It was a long time ago, but it wasn't like, I just knew he couldn't pay for it.
Yeah.
In this moment of time.
Yeah.
So like, I wanted, but I was like, we're staying in a nice hotel. Like, I want to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, no worries. I'll get it. But
did you have the conversation or did you just get it?
No. I think, well.
Or did you just like, I'm going to get it?
I think I was like, I'm going to get this hotel. And he was like, okay, great. And then
I think
like,
right there
of
is
course.
Where, so married,
of course, there was no conversation.
Well, married or cohabitating couples, they say 73% of them say that money is an issue in the relationship. And of 73% say that intimacy decreases with more than 50% of them because of the issues. So because you assume, because there's no conversation, now you're losing respect. Now resentment builds and now you're like, fuck this guy. And you haven't even talked about it.
100%.
You're just like, so I think it's a great example though.
But I think it's because, you know, for me, at least, like talking about money. I think now talking about money, and I'm very transparent and open with my team, with people, with you, et cetera. Like, I'm happy to talk about it. I think that more knowledge is power. But I think, like, growing up, like, I didn't know how to talk about
it,
especially with a partner.
Yeah.
And it feels very taboo. Which,
I wrote a damn book about it.
I know,
still, in circumstances, like, have to be like, all right, Jason, this is what you practice. You got to preach it, step into it.
Right.
100%.
So I think with this situation, I just remember, like, I got the hotel, fine, whatever. But then I remember like he didn't get internet for his phone, which meant he couldn't call any of the Ubers when we were around Paris.
Yeah.
And so then it just felt like, and I remember he paid for one meal, it was on Valentine's Day, which then I got like explosive, like something happened in my stomach. Like, I don't know. So like that didn't really end up going anywhere. Sorry. But like, I remember feeling like not so great about mm-hmm. that trip, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Yeah.
So
was the whole incident with your grandmother like shortly thereafter?
Correct.
And so you got to, for people that haven't seen this viral video, yeah. paint the picture.
Please. This is like, this is actually crazy. Which basically like my grandma's in town and he was like, I want to meet your grandma. I want to take her out to brunch. Like this was his offer.
Yeah.
And I remember, okay. Wow. I'm
you're going back.
There's no way he listens to you.
You're going there.
I feel bad.
Don't say his name.
I would never remember. We had an issue was that he didn't use a fork and knife correctly or at all sometimes. He said that food tasted bad with his hands.
No way.
So I remember I go, listen, like this isn't going to work with my grandmother. She is literally like
traditional,
proper, most like beautiful, perfect. Her name's Grace. And yeah. she is Grace, the most elegant person I've ever met. She like was a stewardess for Pan American Airlines like in the 60s, like that bitch. Okay. I was like, your shit ain't gonna fly with my grandma, so don't
yeah,
do it.
Yeah.
So
tighten it up, buddy.
She literally, so I remember she orders like eggs, avocado toast. Me too. I do too. And then he orders a croissant. And I just remember he looked at the croissant and then looked at me and was like, and he literally took out a knife and fork to eat the croissant. I was like, okay, that is the God, one.
That's literally
that
a handful.
That was literally the one thing you could have actually eaten with your hands. But like, that
now,
was weird.
Now your grandma's like, what's wrong with this guy? Like,
I don't know what his...
He doesn't use his hands? What a loser.
I can't. So then I just remember he ate his croissant and like didn't really eat all of it. And then my grandma was like, actually, like, I don't know what happens. You get old, I guess you lose your appetite. So she was just... She actually had 3 bites of her meal. And then she was like, dude, would you like some of mine? He was like, actually, I would. Totally normal, little handoff. He's eating her food. So then why the fuck at the end of the meal, you offer to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, I get hit with a Venmo request. Mm. Specifically the amount for my grandma's food.
And he never
said. That you ate. And I'm not dramatizing this story.
But he never said like, hey, I literally am broke. Nothing. There's nothing there.
Nothing.
All business owners, listen up. One of the most important things you could do for your company is invest in hiring the right people. With Rewired Talent Management, Trading Secrets, we had some key hiring decisions about very particular places and people that we needed to make sure were a good fit. Let's be honest, finding great people isn't easy and retaining them is almost harder. Now, this is where the Linchpin Co. came in. The recruitment agency is all about bringing purpose-led companies and purpose-driven people together. And let me tell you, they nailed it for me. They're not just about filling roles. They took the time to really understand what our needs were, our culture, and it felt like an extension of what our team is. And I can't gatekeep this resource any longer. So if you're looking for help, hire with Linchpin. They will not disappoint. They will help you fulfill a role that makes sense for your company. And if you want to work with them and mention you heard them here on Trading Secrets, you will get 10% off the first role they help you with. That is a very generous offer. This is a great group of people, and they would love to help grow your business and their client base. So what you'll do is email them at hello@thelinchpinco.com. That's thelinchpinco.com. Mention Trading Secrets or DM them at The Linchpin Co. And also, if you're looking for a job, I'm sure they can help you find one. Check them out.
And by the way, like, there's, you know, I don't, people go through different ebbs and flows in life.
Yeah,
and I think like, totally. I think that honestly, I wasn't in love with him. And so this also just all compounded.
Yeah, manifested.
You know, but I also wonder if this, all these things didn't occur, would I, would I don't know. You? But it's like what you said, I lost respect for him very quickly.
Okay, let's go to this then. So you give a lot of dating tips out there. So we're just kind of dabbling now into like dating and money tips. So when you think about like, warning signs, red flags when it comes to finances and people are dating. Yeah. What are some pieces of advice you'd give?
I think that this whole thing about like, I think that, okay, we're specifically talking about traditional heterosexual relationships.
Yep.
Men have to pay. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Like they just do. Like at least masculine men. If you want to be a woman that's near feminine, you want a masculine man that's going to take care of you. And that's okay, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean take care of you financially, emotionally.
Yeah.
They have to fucking pay at least the first 3 dates. At least. Let's talk first three. If
that's
he can't
good.
Afford to take you to
I think that's good. I think that's like, as someone that loves to kind of step into this and challenge, I agree with that. Okay. I would always pay for the first 3 dates.
Okay.
So I agree. But if I didn't feel that way, I would step into it. So I'm not just saying that. I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you can't afford to take me to a nice restaurant, I don't want to go to a nice restaurant. Like, I actually, it's not about the nice, fancy place. It's about the confidence you have and the excitement and the passion about it.
Yeah.
I want to take you. I had a guy once be like, I want to take you to a taco truck on our second date. I wasn't like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, he's just like, it's the best in the city. Can't wait. I show up. He couldn't fucking find it for an hour and a half. We were walking around an hour. And that's when I fumed. Because I was like, I was into the taco talk. But you had to know where the taco truck is. Not like that's going to be a problem.
Did you leave that?
I was very upset about that date. And he was like, you're getting so rattled. And I was like, because like that's what I'm asking for. I'm asking for a man with a plan.
Yeah.
The plan can be anything. As long as you are confident and you can take me there and you can show me and enjoy it and you're like excited about it, that's all I care about. And that's what women should be looking for.
Three dates, fair. I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. Tell me about, though, you said, there's one comment you said, in my feminine energy, I need, I don't need them to pay for all my shit. I need them to show up emotionally. Is that, say that again, repeat that line. I'm going to take some notes over here.
I love it. And I love this conversation, by the way, so smart. I am a woman in my feminine energy. And it's hard because I think that women in general, like when we are at work and when we are CEOs with a COO and when we have our nanny running around with our
necklace nanny.
Yeah,
security.
We're leaning into our masculine energy because we're calling the shots. Like we're really like making decisions and that's amazing. Mm-hmm. When we get home, we want to kick up our feet and like be safe and be taken care of. Mm. And I don't mean like a foot massage, although that'd be great. I mean like, and I don't even mean like taking care of financially because I am making money and women are making money now and they are buying their own homes and they are, you know, investing in their education. It's about being taken care of like emotionally and like just like having a guy like make the plan because like at the end of the day, like I just want to relax and I want a man that's going to be like, we're going to go to Subway tonight. Like, like whatever. Like I had to be down.
But your point is like, all right, the plan's made.
Yeah, fuck it. The plan is made.
Fuck it. Give me that roasted chicken.
Because it's like nice to not have to think and make a decision. Okay. It's nice to just be taken care of.
Okay. I feel that. All right. I feel that. I see that. I hear it.
But in the beginning, I agree with that. Yeah, the man, you got to pay.
I agree with that.
You guys are making more money than us. Okay. Until we're equal, like you can pay.
Okay. And do you
we're also paying for birth control, which I'm sorry, like you're not. We pay to maybe freeze our eggs. You're not. Like, so I don't know. I mean, like we pay for tampons. You're not. There's a lot of things that women pay for. I'm just going through the basics here. I think that a man can handle paying. And I don't think that he needs to. I went on a date once where this is perfect for you.
Let's hear it.
It was our second date. He texted me on Friday being like, hey, like I would love to go to dinner tonight. I go, okay. And he goes, I can't find a restaurant. Which is bullshit. It's New York City on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, I went on Resy because like, I don't know. I'm friends with someone at St. Theo's.
Sure, sure.
So St. Theo's, perfect. Like I'll reserve it. He's like, I was like, does that work? He's like, absolutely. We get there and I go, I would love for you. I don't want to pick. Like I'm pick the food. I eat everything.
Totally.
Pick whatever. He goes, oh, really? Okay. Can you at least help me pick an appetizer? And I go, okay, sure. And he's just like, well, not the caviar. That's too expensive.
And that was a huge turnoff for you.
I wasn't going to pick the caviar.
Yeah.
Like I would never.
But it was, and it the was.
And it's funny because we just talked about like how you have to communicate.
Yeah.
And then love it.
Yeah. Why? I get that. I actually get that. No, yeah.
Like it's like, I wasn't going to.
This is where it's like
a $200 dish on our second date.
Maybe. Yeah. But I also think like if you're.
I said to him, I didn't want to pick at all.
If you're agreeing to the place that you're going to, then you should have looked at the menu. And if you can't afford something on your menu, in my opinion, you know, that's on you. And I'm all about talking money, but like it's a first date. It's different.
But also it's like, you're putting me in this, like, I didn't want to pick. You're saying you have to pick, but here are the, but don't pick this. It's just like, again, I don't want to.
So your take there is then if you're taking control of this, you pick.
If you're,
okay, got it. All right.
Also, but I'm not saying
but those are two different, those are interestingly different things, right?
They are.
Decisive, taking orders, a lot different than like money conversations.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Then number two, when we leave the restaurant, I was like, did you like it or whatever? And he goes, well, had I known you were going to pick the most expensive restaurant in New York, which it's not.
Okay. You're like, please, bitch.
I was like, this?
Yeah.
And I was like,
cute.
And listen, the reason that comment bothered me was because it made me feel guilty.
Yeah.
It made me feel bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, you were the one that came to me being like, there's no restaurants. There are.
Yeah.
So you were lazy or you got scared.
Okay.
I suggest one and you agree to it. And then now I'm in trouble, like, because it was too expensive for you, then you shouldn't have agreed to it.
I love it. All right. These are good examples. People back home can take these examples. You can think on it and also give us 5 stars and let us know your opinion on some of these things. But let's also fast forward because we got to get into your business ventures, which is a laundry list. We could do a whole nother podcast on that. But before we do, let's fast forward to your now successful relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, Felix, talk to me about how, in a healthy way, you have good financial conversations with him that maybe in the past you didn't, and what it looks like. What you would recommend. You are like the confidence queen. You are the dating queen for people back home. Like, what you would recommend?
I think it's really, like, I think this is the most honest relationship I've ever been in. I think something important to note is, like, just also, we're at different places in our life. Yeah. He's 6 years younger than me.
Yep.
So he's from New York. And so his certain, like, living situation is great. Like, his... I don't want to, like, get too much into his private life.
Yeah,
I don't want
totally.
To, like,
no,
but in the
no,
sense
no.
of, like, I pay for rent in my apartment. He sleeps with me most nights,
sure.
if not every single one in mine.
Yep.
And, like, we could theoretically go to his, but, like, I just like being in Manhattan, like, in my West Village apartment. Mm-hmm. But he's spending most of his time with me. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to go to him and say, well, I'm paying rent. Like, what are you? He was just like, I take care of the groceries or, like, any Amazon things. Like, I help pay for the cleaning lady. And, like, I don't know. I felt like that was, like, a really... He's taking care of, like...
Like, so he is like, proactive and, like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this because I'm doing this. And then you're just, like, good. So then no resentments, Bill, because you understand where you're at.
Exactly. Like,
perfect.
I would never
that's
ask
beautiful.
Him to ever pay rent because, like, that was never something that we ever spoken to and agreed about,
yeah.
ever. Like, that's never in a million years, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the fact that, like... And honestly, like, in some ways, like, he isn't indebted to me at all. Like, it's the fact that he is so proactive because
yeah.
he doesn't want to ever make me feel like there's not an equilibrium.
Are you guys thinking about moving in together anytime soon?
I think, like, right now it's a great setup because he basically, like, his home that he lives in is
yeah.
the one that, like, they own.
Okay.
So it's great.
It.
And he doesn't have roommates or anything.
Okay.
So it's like, why would you spend rent when you basically own your apartment?
Okay. When you guys decide to move in, we're going to do a little episode for everyone listening.
Oh,
we're going to have both of you at the table.
Okay, yeah.
And we're going to talk about all
I honestly
the
can't wait.
We're going to talk money. We're going to go through all the questions. How about that?
Oh my God, I would love
you
to.
In? Okay.
We love numbers on this podcast. Every week, people watch 17 hours of online video and 5 million hours of video are uploaded to YouTube. Why? Because video drives results. There is a company called Storyblocks that can help you change all your video formatting, whether you're making them for yourself or you are making them for your business, this is an absolute no-brainer. So for a limited time, you can get 3 additional months free if you sign up with an annual individual license plan. You'll just go to storyblocks.com/tradingsecrets to take advantage of this exclusive offer that is only available until the end of May 2024. The offer won't appear at checkout, but rest assured, it will automatically be added to your account shortly after you sign up. It's storyblocks.com/tradingsecrets. So you'll have all the access to essentially everything you need to make the best videos out there with all things A to Z. Just go to storyblocks.com/tradingsecrets.
Until then, I need to get into your career because it's been kind of a wild career, right?
Wild.
So you go from refinery, you're making, you said a producer there around 45 grand. You then start popping off on social media. You do this dating game where you date 50 guys, right?
It was
a dating show.
It was because I didn't want to go on The Bachelor.
I called it a game.
Sorry, I didn't want to fight for a guy. So
you're like, listen, I'm not going to go through this bullshit. I'll be The Bachelor.
Literally. I was going to be the producer, the host, the contestant, the gaffer, lighter, the hair, makeup, costume, everything. I was me.
Did it all.
Did it
okay,
all.
So you go through that.
And I sold the second season for 6 figures.
No way.
Yeah, Bumble bought a month worth of episodes.
You took the lines right from me. Did you make any money off the first season?
No.
Okay, second season. How much did you lose?
Oh, yes,
any?
I did.
Did
Bumble
you lose
bought,
money?
Bumble bought a couple episodes.
Okay.
Maybe 2.
Okay, and then you do the second season and you actually got them to sponsor the whole thing.
I got them to sponsor.
6-figure deal.
I got them to sponsor a month of episodes. And then I did Bev, which was like a great beverage company, Hint Water, Mum Champagne, and Bumble. So I got 4 sponsors to sponsor these episodes, which wasn't done in live Instagram lives.
No.
Like that. People didn't do that.
No.
But they were literally...
People like really still don't do a lot
I know.
Of that.
But
that's still
rare. It was a
rare.
Place and time. Also, the numbers were crazy.
What was your follower count at this point? if you had to think about it?
Like under 100K.
Okay, 100, see, I absolutely love that though, because you made that 100K yourself. You didn't go on a show, you made it yourself. And then you got a six-figure deal by creating yourself. And to me, I think that's inspiration for people that are listening that have ideas that are thinking, go do it. You don't have to be, you know, get this TV show or anything. You don't have to have 10, 5, 3, 2 million followers. You could do it by just creating, like just go do it. And you did it. Okay.
Hell yeah, I did.
You did it. All right. Now let's talk about this. So at what point in your content creating game, and we're going to get into your card game in a second, but are you starting to out earn what you were making before at Refinery, knowing that you made 45? Like how long did it take you of content creation to make 45K plus?
I think if I quit my job in February 2020, by September, because I launched my first card game then.
Okay.
September, I was making well over.
Was it the card game that got you there? Or was it ad deals that
it
got
was
you
both.
There? Okay. Gotcha.
It's to this day, it's pretty split 50-50.
Really? The card game is still half of your revenue still to this day. Okay. So talk to us a little bit about the card game. There are a lot of people out there that have ideas for games and thoughts and games, but creating, my brother created a card game. It's hard. It takes years. I feel like it takes a long time
to
do.
25 minutes.
Okay. So tell us.
I think a lot of it's about being at the right place at the right time.
Minutes.
I literally Googled how to make a card game. And then like, we were literally like, I got it. I mean, I think here's a couple things. One, yeah. I think the pressure of being like, this has to be my perfect idea is what fucks you in the end.
Yeah,
for
totally.
Me, like I was like, I'm just going to, I was dating 50 men in 2020. I had to come into these episodes. We didn't have edits like The Bachelor.
Yeah.
This was live. So like, and I was the producer host. I was everything. I mean, I also had other producers help me too. And like all the dates were blind. And that was like really important to me. So like the men would like, I would go on live.
Yep.
And so I'd be like, hey, like all dressed up, looking fucking fire with my little drink, whatever. And then my producer would text me from my computer. I'd be on my phone being like, hey, Josh, 1, 2, 3. Is coming on. So I would like let him into the live.
Yeah.
Date two guys every week. And then if I like them, it would continue an hour long date. Just to give you some context. I had to come into every date ready. Like not like, where'd you go to school? Like it had to be ready,
to go
hot
fire
questions.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
yeah.
why I started
what
writing.
What triggers
up.
You? Well, why'd your ex break up? What's your sex preference? Boom.
If you were a soup, what kind of soup would you be?
Interesting.
Great question. So I started writing all these down and then people would reach out to me and be like, can you send me the list?
What was the worst answer you ever got to the soup question?
Like we'll chicken noodle. So fucking basic. Like, I'm obviously French onion.
What's the best answer you ever get?
Like some like crazy, I don't know. No, I think chicken noodle's fine. Like I just like, I get it. But like
I think it's
one of those soups that I've never heard of.
Question like that, it's not how you answer, it's how you describe it in my opinion.
Amen.
Yes.
So, and I'd like to know yours. Do you have one?
I already got it.
Of course you do. What is it?
So mine would actually be, it would be clam chowder, but I'm not talking clam chowder. I'm talking Boston clam chowder at the fucking harbor when you're in the marketplace and I want the bread bowl and I want the guy with the Boston accent screaming chowder here and I want to walk around and I want to dip the bread in there and I want to just take in the harbor. That's the best one right there.
Wow.
Because it's different. It's unique to that place. You can't get it everywhere and it's good. And it's fulfilling too. You don't need anything else after that.
Okay. There's well done. Exactly. So you would have done great on my dating show. You obviously have a little practice though, so it's fine. Sorry, I had to do a little bit.
A little dig?
Okay,
was that a dig or pump tires?
No one's asked me
what kind of soup I had, but that's fine. Card game, how'd you make it?
Right, so exactly. So I had to come up with these, I just needed questions, whatever. And then I literally like Googled, I was like, how to make a card game. I called a place, I got a designer. It was very casual. And I see this in a way of like, for me, it was about the story.
Yeah.
I was the perfect person to sell this game because I was putting myself out there online, making a business.
Yeah.
During lockdown, no one had anything to do. All the fucking content dried up very quickly. So this was this community interactive show that everyone had. So who better to sell a card game being like, this is how you're going to date. This is how you're going to date on Zoom. When you're on Zoom having FaceTime dates, this is what you're going to use me. And that's what it was. It was about the story.
Mm.
So when you're like, why are you the best person to sell your book? Like, I'm sure you had to write that. I'm writing right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, I think that that's a very helpful thing is like, why you? Because if you know why, then you can sell anything. You can sell anything.
So that's a really good tip for anyone listening right now. If you're going to an interview, if you have to sell like your boss on your next annual review, like why you? And if you can't answer that question,
forget it.
Who the hell do you think can answer? You think your boss is going to protest for you when doors are closed? Absolutely not. So that's a good one. But you create the game. How much does it cost to create the game?
Very little.
Couple grand? I don't need to know how much you like. I don't need to know your margins, but like to start, I'm just, if someone was like, oh, I want to create a, like a game, a card game, how $3,000 to like create, like,
I'm sorry, do you have like a good memory? Like I can't remember shit 4 years ago. Yeah. Like not that much. Okay. Let me put it this way.
It wasn't like a huge investment.
Started with 250 decks.
Yeah.
This game does not take a lot to make. It's paper. Under $5 to make.
Yeah.
I sell it now for $29. Yeah. It used to be $25.
I'm not just blogging this too.
The margins are great.
You gave me a deck. All right, I got a confession. You gave me a deck.
It's about time.
When we were in Mexico, and I took it, and then I had some dates coming up. You want to know what I did? I took like 4 of the cards and I put them in my suco, just, or like my jack, okay, or whatever. So I was just in case, like, I was like, all right, let's play a game. So I love a good game. They're great questions.
Okay, hold on.
They're really good questions.
So this means that you were on a date and you didn't have the deck with you. You just had the 4 random cards.
I had
so you were prepared to literally just be like,
oh yeah, well, I just don't give a shit, by the way. I'd also be like, hey, I met this girl and she came up with this game. We're going to fucking play it. You in? Loser takes a drink. Like I would have just ripped it out.
Did you eat it?
I didn't. The conversation was flowing. But listen, so now talk to me. You sell it $29.
So I ordered 250 decks when I first started. And I was like, if this is good, then I'll order some more. And I think that's another thing. I think that entrepreneurs or people in general, like even podcast, I remember I thought I was going to start a podcast in 2019 and I bought all the fancy equipment before I recorded one episode.
Yeah.
I didn't even know if I liked doing it. Turns out I don't. I just want to be interviewed. Yeah. I don't want to interview.
Yeah.
So I think whenever you have an idea, just see if the idea, like, see if you like doing it. And I think that was the same thing with Let's Fucking Date. I just went live one. I started going live. I was like, I'm going to do a blind date one night. I didn't say, like, I have to have a show. I have to have sponsors.
Yeah, like, all the things.
Like, stop putting so much pressure on yourself. Just, like, feel it out.
Just
and
go
so
do it.
That game, I mean, like, turned into another game called Let's Fucking Fuck.
Okay. You said you have 4 now, though.
Then so
let's fucking
play.
Date. Let's fucking fuck. Let's fucking play.
Which is, like, the masturbation one.
Okay. So that's by yourself. You play that game by yourself.
You could theoretically.
Okay, got it. And then what's
the
fourth
go.
One? Okay,
it's my newest baby.
You have some decks.
This was the
here.
Friend one.
Okay.
This is the friend one.
Real quick before we get into this. So four decks, $29. How many units around do you think you've sold?
Close to 100,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And
do you have a lot of competitors? Like, are there competitors trying to not? I mean,
I think that a lot of people.
Because
I mean,
it's so branded to you. Like, your face
so
is on
it. Branded to me.
Okay, let's give people.
Which is.
One or two, which is what?
Which
is your competitive advantage?
Or if you don't know who the girl on the box is, maybe you're not.
Then someone else can just replicate it.
No, I think that's what I realized. I was like, I've seen a lot of games come out. I've seen them look like my game.
Yeah.
I feel like what gives me that advantage is like people aren't just buying a card game.
They're buying
the brand,
right?
That's why we buy anything,
exactly,
right? So I feel like that's an advantage. However, if you're not, if you aren't familiar with my brand, maybe like seeing my face with my blonde bob, which I don't even have anymore, like, and a crown, like, isn't what, maybe you're like, who is that?
Sure.
But okay. Whatever, that's with
that's
anything.
Fair. But obviously huge success. This is connected to
major.
Half of your revenue right now. Wow, amazing. All right, let's take one out. Let's do one game here. Where can people get it? They're listening right now.
Let's fucking date.com.
Let's fucking date.com.
And Revolve. We have big Revolves. Okay, here we go. What's the most public place you've ever had sex?
Interesting. Most public place?
Yeah.
Do we have to play this game?
Okay, I'll do something. I wanted to see if you were down. What's weirdly hot but shouldn't be?
What's weirdly hot but shouldn't be? Oh, that's a good one. What is weirdly hot but shouldn't be? I find a little bit of our difference. I think like a strong, like independent woman who's just like doing her thing. I think that's so hot. Like when, like, you know, some of the stuff when you said the feminine energy, some of it I so connected to, but I'm also always attracted. I think this might sound weird, but my parents, they're both like super alpha. They're both strong personalities. Mom and dad, see them banter. I've seen them both win arguments. And so I've always been attracted to like a strong, independent woman.
Let's make it abundantly clear that is 100% what I am.
Okay.
And I think that being in your feminine doesn't mean.
So tell me about that.
I think that it's like a duality.
Okay.
I think there's a duality there. You don't think that I'm a strong, independent bitch with
you
Felix?
You are strong.
Like, I'm
you
like,
are. That's why
it's,
I was
it's
like, tell me more.
It's like, how do I describe it? It's
like you are, like it, your brand
sorry,
is
not
strong,
a game, but more
independent
it's a ping pong. Yes, exactly.
Like that is, if I had to define your brand,
but,
I'd be like strong,
like,
independent
sometimes
boss.
Sometimes I don't want to be that. And
okay.
I think that's like finding a man that like sometimes I can relax with. It doesn't mean that I can't be that anymore.
Yeah.
It's more that like when I want to take off that cloak,
yeah,
I can relax and have someone like take care of me. But I think it's a ping pong. Like, we go back and forth.
Yeah. Well, there's what's interesting is like, especially with social media and everything, and you get into like the therapy side of it, like when technically you're doing this, not saying it's not you, but this is like when we're doing this right here, right now, we are ourselves, but technically we're a product.
There's
right
the camera.
We're a product, right? And so the idea of like, when it's not product mode, that's what you're saying, I
correct.
Think.
And it doesn't mean that I'm not an independent baddie. Yeah.
Well,
trust
you are. We
but
know
it's
that.
Like,
everyone
I can
knows
like
that.
Relax and yeah. like have him take me out to dinner and it's okay. But I also think like if there was this expectation of being submissive, yeah. never having a voice, never speaking yeah. up, that wouldn't work for me either.
Okay, got it. Okay, I love it. All right, so guys.
So independent women, obviously weirdly hot.
A lot of taste.
And should be.
Yeah, like very, very attractive. Okay, so 4 card games, and whether you are single, you're in a relationship, or you're just looking for friendly conversations, you have a deck for everyone. So go check that out at Let's Fucking
and you better
date.
Use
com.
Let's fucking fuck or date with whoever you're fucking reading.
Who do you, what do you think? If you had to paint the perfect picture of a person for me, what would you say it would look like?
Someone
give me something.
Independent.
Okay. Yes. Check into that.
Confident.
Very much into confidence. Got it.
No drama.
Yeah. Interesting comment. Okay.
I don't really, I'm not well read into your dating life, but I think like, you know, you just like.
Yeah. Go with the flow.
Something go with the flow.
Enjoy life. Okay. I'm catching what you're throwing.
Love and happiness.
I will use this deck when I'm ready to go for it.
When it comes to investing and it comes to managing money, it is all about visibility and having the right information. Where do I go to get that? Yahoo Finance. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance will give you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're literally the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news, the cycles, of course, breaking news. We even use Yahoo Finance to source so many of the articles that we reference in this podcast, in our newsletter, and in our stories every single day. So for comprehensive finance news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com to get all your breaking information, financial news, and everything you need to stay up to speed with this ever-moving financial market.
Another business venture. What?
Yeah, no, I love it. I'm so happy.
Yeah, I mean, I have a few in my coat pocket
yeah,
ready to go.
Wait.
A few more I got for you is you launch, and this one I had to ask you about, the SFK TV. So you talk about this being the future TV. You're charging people $6.90 a month, $69 for access. Like, is this a big revenue generator for you? What's the brand play? Talk to me about the business.
Okay, so I, just to give you context, like all this is really great what I do. And I know, like I love empowering people. I love empowering women. I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. That is the end goal. I'm writing a feature film right now.
Okay. Now, is that derived from mom's work?
My mom and dad, yeah. They're both in film.
So your mom is in MTV Unscripted, right?
Yes.
What's your dad do?
He's a showrunner for
okay,
TV
gotcha.
And film.
Amazing. So your whole life, this is the world that you've been brought into.
It's all I know. It's all
gotcha.
We talk about. It's all we have in common.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's it's really like that this is what I grew up with. I always wanted to be a filmmaker. I'm the next Sofia Coppola.
Quick side note before I go down this track. MTV Unscripted TV, I feel like reality TV was made for someone like you. Was that an avenue you ever considered?
No, because my mom was like, I make unscripted reality
TV. So she wouldn't
let
you go in.
Fucking not.
She wouldn't let you go in.
Oh, you don't understand. I would come to my computer and people are like, we submitted you for The Bachelor. Like yeah. everyone was like, you are perfect.
Why wouldn't she let you go? Protection? Like she knew how bad it can get?
Because, yeah, of course. You're at the mercy of the producers.
But she also knows how good it could get.
I don't, sure, but like, it's like, I think that my parents, especially because I came from wanting to be a filmmaker, they were like, if you, what's the intention here?
Yeah.
And it's like, create your own, my parents are always like, I wanted to be an actress. And they're like, write your own stuff. So with like, with reality television, it's like, what do you want? Like, make your own show. It was
like,
always out of my household. It's just like, make it yourself.
Social media fame, go get it.
It was make it yourself. Yeah. So like, well, let's fucking, it's like, why be on The Bachelor when I can make my own show?
Okay. Interesting.
A little different.
I think there's a good takeaway though for anyone that's listening at home. Like this is someone with parents in the industry where you could have got a leg up and they're like, go create it.
And
if
by
you want to do
like,
something, go do it.
Nepo baby Sly. Like I absolutely definitely had, I mean, there's a reason why like Let's Fucking Eat was such a well-produced reality show.
Yeah.
Babe, like I literally was trained since I was 5 years old about reality television.
Yeah.
Like I knew how to produce that show in a really smart way. Mm. But I do agree.
What is one thing you did producing that show that you're like, that was fire? That like someone back home listening would never know if they didn't like have exposure that you did. One production tip you used.
There was just a lot of producing behind the scenes, a lot of talking to the men. It wasn't just they showed up on a date. There was a lot of ego stroking.
So that they gave you the most vulnerable.
That they wanted to do it. It's scary. Mm-hmm. It's live.
Okay.
All your friends and family are watching.
Yeah.
Because you're going on with your account, right? Yeah. So when you go on with your account, everyone gets a notification. Imagine when you go on The Bachelor, every single person that you've ever known got.
Totally. Yeah,
they probably did. So, and it's also like, I had this persona that I played on the show that was like a smart, independent bitch.
For sure.
And so I think it was about, there was a lot of behind the scenes of like making them feel excited and good. And by the way, this wasn't a show where I'd bite their head off at all. It was like supposed to be fun.
Okay.
And it was.
Got it. Interesting. All right. So there's just a lot that goes on my then. Bring it back to that.
Okay. So what I wanted to do was I was like, I want to be a writer director. I'm actually writing a feature right now. Can't wait to get your take on it off camera.
Okay.
But how do I start? It's very similar to the Let's Fucking Be. I was the perfect person to sell the card game.
Yeah.
So now I felt like everything is about branding. Everything is about storytelling. Everything is about storytelling.
Yeah, it's all story arc.
All story.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I want to be a director. I want to be taken seriously as a writer. I want to sell a movie and make a movie. We have to start changing the story out of Let's Fucking Date into TV, right? Film. So I was like, instead of starting a Patreon, and this is interesting because SFK TV is dead. I just killed it.
Okay.
And so I'm glad we talked about it. So, and it's very interesting. This is the first time I'm talking about it. So I'm like excited to tell you.
Because
basically, I didn't want to start a Patreon, even though that's essentially what it was.
Sure.
It's a subscription-based content model, right?
You put something out.
But I like that it was whitelisted. It was SFK TV. So you really didn't know.
Yeah.
But I think that in the beginning, that was very sexy and fun. And every week I would post an episode. I would shoot. It was very high production value.
Okay.
I would go either I would do an episode with Felix or I would do, it's kind of like a podcast.
Yeah.
Behind a paywall. Ultimately, I realized that if you don't give your consumer something free, right? Or they can't see what they're about to pay for.
They're not going to pay for it. Yeah.
Which is like, I had built a lot of trust over years and we had actually a really healthy subscriber account. But one, I felt beholden to having to make a piece of content that was long, over 20 minutes every single week. I couldn't.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
And also I want to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, we're making beautiful, high level content. No one was seeing it. Some of the people subscribing, which wasn't anything to write home. Like there weren't that many.
So
and
like,
also something else is I really wanted community and we weren't, it was
building
like Quibi. Like you weren't even like talking to each other. Like what was it? So then I started, after 6 months, I actually started to, but I have a really healthy newsletter, which is something else. If you're want to be in business, content creation, I think, start a fucking newsletter.
Yeah.
I started my newsletter in 2019 and now it's almost at 20,000 subscribers, which is really high.
Yeah, totally.
It's very high, very healthy.
Huge.
We have like over a 65% click rate, like open rate.
Yeah, that's huge.
Huge.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's just one way that you can grow. Even if you're not growing followers, TikTok, you don't want to do it. Like that's an easy way to build and to build community. Anyway, the point is that I transferred it to Substack and this is why. Do you know what Substack is?
Mm-mm.
Okay, Substack is like this new hot platform that you should absolutely get on.
Okay.
And it's like, it's basically a newsletter, but it also has everyone else's newsletters. So it's like a feed.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. And all your newsletters are also like—
So I could put my newsletter on Substack.
Exactly. And that's what I did. And so I basically, and what you can do is you can also put paywalls in front of certain articles.
Okay.
So basically what I did is I moved SFK TV to Substack and called it The Plot.
Okay.
So just rebranding.
Okay, cool. I love it. So you're rebranding that.
Subscribe to The Plot.
And are you still doing the confidence coaching?
No, I'm not anymore.
Okay, so no more coaching.
But that was great.
That was great. Well, it lasted. Give us, you're a confidence coach. You're doing one-on-one confidence coaching. Give us one of the best tip you can give someone back home that's lacking confidence.
Stop speaking badly about yourself. Like literally
never. I was wondering about this. Do you ever have like a big thing in like therapy and just like growth is self-awareness? Like do you—
There's a difference between self-awareness and criticism.
But do you ever, I know. But I was like, do you ever have those moments where you're just like, you're like, you know what? I'm not the baddest bitch. I'm struggling today. I'm really weak, actually. Like,
so
do you ever have that?
I feel weak. I don't feel like the baddest bitch. Feelings are temporary. They go away.
Okay.
Saying I'm not, like, or I suck, or I'm not smart.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't say that to your best friend. I think it's about saying feelings. And by the way, I'm not saying that like you can have done something selfish, but that doesn't make you a selfish person. Right.
Right. Right.
So I think that that's also like, it's not this like in totality statement,
absolutes.
Grandest
like
statement.
Absolutes are terrible. Never say absolutes.
And also like,
it's like a therapy thing. Yeah.
You're allowed to like not like your friend. Sometimes you just don't like them. They're annoying, whatever. But like at the end of the day, like you love them and you have to treat them with that respect. And like, you wouldn't talk shit about them. And so like, you are your own best friend. You are the one constant in your life. Like if you're not like respectful to yourself, then like, who the fuck will be?
I like that. I like that a lot.
Good.
Like a feeling of what you're feeling today is not totality. It's just how you feel. You feel like shit. Well, you feel like shit today. Tomorrow you'll feel great. That doesn't define you. You are not shit. You just feel like shit. You feel sad. You are not sad. You just feel sad. Mm. I like that.
There
that
you
is
go.
Great. Boom. Confidence coaching. All right. So confidence coaching,
yeah,
SFK TV, and then your card game is killing it.
You're not managing your money on Excel files, are you? Because if you are, it's time to wake up and start using technology. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress toward financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. Now, if you read Talk Money to Me, you know that money has a huge impact on relationships. I think it's really cool that this app will focus on collaboration. So you can actually see some of the finances of your partner, create joint budgets, and customize what is visible and what isn't visible. But it's an app that truly does it all. After trying Monarch Money out for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, listeners of this show can get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/secrets. That's monarchmoney.com/secrets for your extended 30-day free trial. Go to monarchmoney.com/secrets for an extended 30-day free trial.
Let's look at your career. Like, where do you, what's the goal? 5 years from now, where do you dream it up?
Something that we didn't talk about is like, just like my branded content. It's on a different level.
That's like yeah. I mean, that's your, that's your
that's
main,
my calling card.
That's everything,
yeah,
right?
That's everything. And so what I'm trying to do more and more, and I just did this with Plan B One Step, is I convinced them to let me do a 4-part mini series on my page where I write, direct the whole thing, integrate their product within like a story arc that you see every week.
Yeah.
And you're like, my audience comes back for more episodes. That's what I want to start doing with all brands is like, how do we create like episodic television or film within like social media using like the budgets that they give me to like promote their product, but I can also tell a story.
This is interesting because I have a talent management company. We manage all kind of talent A to Z. And the way you're selling to brands is very different than like we would ever sell to brands. Like who's doing, are you pitching your, like, do you have a team? How are you pitching to brands like this type of ad placement? Because it's very different than like 99% of all content creators.
I think that I've been doing this kind of ad work since 2010. I have been doing it since 2020. Yeah. So I've become known for it. So there's not a really a lot of like, for Plan B, like if the first time we worked together, I pitched that to them, they would say absolutely not. This was my fourth time working with them. So like they know, they love the idea because they're like, of course she loves that. At the end of the day, they want people to not, what I do with advertising is like, I don't want you to feel like it's an ad.
Yeah.
But that means sometimes we won't be going like, this cup is plastic and durable. Like we might not even be talking about the product
but
that much.
Right there.
And brands don't like that sometimes.
No, of course
but
not.
I'm like, what do you want?
Do you want
because
do you
at
want
the end
eyeballs?
Of the day,
you'll
like, and also feeling.
Yeah.
I want people to feel something. You're buying into a feeling. You're not just buying into the product.
I like it. All right. Give me, this is because we got to wrap up and I got to get your training secret. Give me two things as we talk numbers here. Your goal. What is your goal? Within a certain period of time, I want to make this amount of money off my content creation. Give me a goal. Speak it out.
I mean, billionaire bitch, obviously.
I get it. But give me a dollar off content creation in the year you're going to make that much.
Oh, I've never done that. I don't like feeling so, but okay, let's manifest. I mean, I'm going to make a movie and I'm going to win an Oscar. That to me is more important.
You're going to make a movie and an Oscar.
And win an Oscar.
When? Give me
by 2027.
Wow.
Four years.
Amazing.
3 years.
Do you have any, give me any, you could say on the movie we're going to make, give me $1 amount that you're manifesting. $1. It's the biggest deal you got. It's the biggest content creation. It's you sell the company for. It's something that you see that's realistic within your vision. A dollar amount.
$22 million.
$22 million for what? Put it out there. You're going to sell your card company for $22 million?
Oh, would love to sell my card game for $22 million. Honestly, I think I will.
Okay. There we go. You said it right here. You're starting to question it, but I think it's
I'm not
reality.
I was like, was it enough? I think I could have gotten more.
$22 million.
$22 million here is base, it comes. Baseline.
Barbara Corcoran, let's go.
No,
get
seriously.
Her in the game.
Sharks, baby.
Right around the corner. Here.
This is interesting.
Go.
Do you think so? I'm a huge manifester, though.
Yeah.
Do you think that doing, but I don't, and maybe this is like how I was raised, taboo, yeah. or whatever. I don't do that with money. Like I know, I believe firmly, I've always believed this, the money will come. And I would spend all of the money that I would get from these brands yeah. on the making the content itself.
Yeah.
And my manager like, you're crazy. I'm like, yeah. because I'm doing a high level. And that's why I'm able to get these kinds of deals.
Yeah.
Because I've just like proved myself. But I don't speak at the, I don't go like $22 million, da, da, da. But I'm like, do you think that this is an important part of manifesting and like getting what you want?
I think so. I think it's a huge, with the numbers, I think it's the same thing as like what you want mm-hmm. out of life. Like, I think you got to put it out there to get there.
Right.
Now I'm the polar opposite though. I am more of like, I'm like, I don't know, well, when's the next deal coming? When's the next deal coming?
Never.
I need to get more like you now because all the
coming.
Deals are there. They're flowing, they're running.
They're
it's like, let's just, let's reinvest.
Always.
But I think there's no way you get there without saying, like, if you're like, okay, this year I'm going to make whatever your number is. I want to make $1 million, $2 million, $3 million. I want to make 100,000. I want to make 10,000, whatever your number is. I think when you do it, the second you say it, just like anything else, you start to like learn the behaviors of like, wait, am I today? Did I do what it would take to make that? Today, did I do what it would take to get to my card company to 22
movie,
million? Mm-hmm. Right? There you go. So I think it's the same thing as manifesting. I think a lot of things that we do in therapy and life and everything, we just got to connect it to numbers because for some reason we were taught not to talk about it. But that's what we do here on Trading Secrets. We talk about it.
Nice.
So we got to wrap up with your trading secret. We heard a lot about your business ventures. It's been a very busy 4 years for you. You're killing it, knocking it out of the ballpark,
thanks.
Staying true to your brand, and then living that brand through events and all the things on a day-to-day basis with content creation. So one trading secret could be a money tip. It could be a career navigation tip. It could be a life tip. It could be a dating tip. It could be one of each, but it's just a trading secret with Serena Kerrigan that we can't learn from a professor, can't get in a textbook or learn from a TikTok tutorial, only from you and your experience.
Well, I would open a 401k.
Okay.
I opened one when I was in my first job. My first job was a voice actress on Nickelodeon on Go Diego Go, the spinoff of Dora the Explorer.
Love that.
And
wild resume you have.
No, insane. Truly insane. And I was making really amazing money. Voice acting goes fucking crazy.
Hmm.
And I wanted to spend it all. My parents were like, no, we're going to give you $25 each session and we're going to put the rest in 401k.
Cool.
And like, I think that is how you build generational wealth.
Okay. So we're going to do one of each.
Retirement. And you maximize every year. And I do maximize it.
I love it. 401k, retirement planning. Make sure you're saving today. You're right. Because if you save today, you're right for tomorrow. That's your financial tip.
No, it's so annoying, but it's literally like, do it.
One thing I always say is like, you think about what you prepare for a week vacation so much. Who's watching the dog? Who's getting your mail? What outfits are you wearing? Where are you going? Who are your flights? The hotel, blah, blah, blah. You do that. When you retire, that's a 1500 plus week vacation. Think about how much planning needs to go into it. And all we do is kick the can. So that's a great financial tip. Give us one dating tip.
Dating tip. You have to complete yourself. Like you have to complete yourself. And everything else isn't an additive. Get to a place in your life. Go to therapy. Work through your shit. Get excited about whatever you're doing for a living. Have like connect with your friends and people around you. If you're constantly being like, where is he? Where is he? Like he ain't coming. The same way it's, you have to stop doing the, what deal is coming in? Like that negative, anxious energy is going to repel.
Yeah, totally.
Just like have faith in yourself.
I love it. The last one, the last one we'll get for you is your career and your resume is wild. A to Z, lefts, rights, and it just keeps going up. So give us one career trading secret. How to
do what you love. My parents were like, do what you love. Like the money will come.
Okay.
They always said that to me. Do what you love. My dad was going to go into the Marines. He quit. He went to Columbia Journalism, then went to NYU Tisch, then like makes movies. My mom is a full-blown doctor in Argentina, finished residency, psychiatrist, moved here, went to film school, is now a top executive at MTV. The point of this is to say that both of them didn't do what their parents wanted them to do, focus on their passion and are massively successful, did not start out with anything really. And I think like for me, they always were like, do what you love. You spend the majority of your life working. It's a lot of time.
Love it. Career
and the
advice.
Money will come.
The money will
and it will
come.
22 million.
It did and it will. 22 million. Could you imagine the birthday party once you exit for 22 million? It's going to be next level. It's coming. We're seeing it now. Serena, where can people find everything you have going on?
Serena Kerrigan on everything, every platform ever. Subscribe to my Substack called The Plot. It's sick. I do it every Thursday at 11 p.m. or a.m. Let'sfuckingdate.com for my card games and just wait. Get your popcorn ready because I'm making a movie.
You're making a movie.
And I'm winning an Oscar.
And you are winning an Oscar. And we have this clip for when you accept that Oscar and you give that speech. We're going to play it right here, right now in 2024. Serena Kerrigan, this has been entertaining, exciting, electric, and also insightful. So thank you for being on Trading Secrets.
Thank you for having me.
Ding, ding, ding. We are closing in the belt to the one, the only, the Serena Kerrigan episode. It was a good one. Dave, I am coming here. Wow, that felt so weird calling you Dave.
Yeah, I hate being called
Canadian.
Dave. I hate being called Dave.
I don't think I've ever called you Dave ever. In my life. That was the first Dave drop of all time. So Dave, here I am at the One Hotel overlooking Miami Beach, thinking about you, thinking about this episode we just had. And it's always good to be on the ones and twos doing a little recap with you, especially after the monstrosity of the episode with Kat Stickler, with you in the hot seat with us. So David, how are we doing? How are we feeling?
We're feeling great until you call me Dave. I might have to hop on a review and give a one star from the username Dave.
Hey, if you give a one star, could you actually put your name under it and not be the same person doing fraudulent one stars? We have a one star bandit, everybody. I have some inklings of who that person might be, but we have someone that once a week, every week, goes under a different alias, gives us a one star name, and writes very fraudulent, misleading things. Fortunately, Apple has sniped this person, and now we are aware, and those reviews from that person get deleted now, which are great.
Yeah, it's almost
fake.
It's like a form of flattery in a way, right? It's a form of flattery in a way. So, yeah.
Apple, we have a podcast stalker.
Yeah,
we need a restraining order on that person, and Apple's working on it.
Hey, there's a business, internet restraining orders. Anyway, speaking of business, you've been on the business train. Last week with the Cat episode, you were coming to me from Stagecoach. This year, you're coming to me from Miami. You're at the F1 event. Before we get into the Serena Kerrigan episode, which let's just say was an explosive episode. Energy oozing out every one of the earwaves of that episode. You got any fun stories from F1?
Oh my God. So let's hold on.
Before I ask that, when I say fun stories, this is a Money Babe podcast. We're in the recap. When I think Miami, I think money. I think absurdity. I think your red and white green shoes that I saw you wear on the red carpet at that event. Give me some money stories from Miami.
Let me give you some money stories. Well, today is Sunday. We're going to F1 today. This episode's released Monday. Tomorrow morning, I will be interviewing Todd Graves, who is the founder of Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's, of course, is a very, very well-known fast food chicken finger joint. And he is now a billionaire from his endeavors. So that podcast will be incredible. But we're here with Raising Cane's. I'll give you a little money thing. And then, because I think on that episode, David, which we'll try and release that next Monday at the latest, we will talk about all the ins and outs. But last night I was at Carbone Beach, and you want to talk about money. Of all the wild places I've been in the last 6 years because of this media world, I think that the tent that I was in for Carbone Beach at F1 was the most human power that I've ever been surrounded by in my life. When you think about the 800 people that were there, Elon Musk was there, LeBron James was there, Michael Rubin was there, you name an NFL or NBA star, Patrick Mahomes, George Kittle, I could keep going. They were all there. And I knew, just from knowing business leaders, I saw about 6 or 7 billionaires aside from Elon Musk. Now, quick money thing. My understanding is for Carbone Beach to be a sponsor, right? You have to have a table to get in there. It's a table. Think of it like almost like a big wedding. And to be a sponsor, it's a 7-figure amount. And then to get an actual table, it's a minimum of 50,000 minimum just to get in there. And Pitbull did a full performance in front of like 100 people. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Mr. Miami right there. Now, ROI wise, do you think that those are worth it for these companies that are sponsoring these 7-figure things?
I mean, it's always the biggest and best companies in the world. And then they have the biggest and largest
celebrities in the world there. So they're definitely getting their impressions, you know. It'd be interesting to look at like the KPIs to understand it. That'd be fascinating.
Any future podcast guests that we can bank on from your networking skills at these events? Throw some pretty big names out there.
One, we got very in with Saquon Barkley, who, if anybody doesn't know, a very, very well-known running back in the NFL who's now just signed with Philly. We're in with his manager, so we can pitch him. And I think we're going to make a play at Theo Von. I think he's going to be the guy. I'll tell you one other thing about Theo Von. We walked into Todd Graves' suite yesterday, and in this suite are some massive, massive names. I have no business being in this suite. And it's a little intimidating when you get in there, you know, because it's like all big, big names. Theo Von, the second he walked in, I watched him. He went to every single person, shook their hand and said his name and introduced himself. And I thought to myself, that's fucking incredible. That is incredible. You know, that's not a guy who's like, he's not the smoothest, most charismatic politician. Like, I'm going to go shake hands. That was an intentional effort from like a pure, genuine place to say, I just want to come say hi. And I thought that was so cool.
I love that. I love Theo Von. I'd love to get him on the pod. He's got some great guests on his pod that I would love to get on our pod. So that's awesome. Awesome experience that you had there. And for our listeners out there, hopefully an awesome experience listening to Serena Kerrigan. If you want to dive into a little Serena Kerrigan. Talk about ROIs. Yeah.
Let's talk about ROIs. Now, David, just knowing, you know, I know your personality. I know Serena's personality. I could be wrong, but I do feel like if I put you... Now, for people back home, Hawk, David, myself, we're best of friends. Hawk is good friends with Serena. I'm good friends with Serena. David hasn't met Serena. But knowing Hawk's personality, Serena and Hawk... love each other. Mm-hmm. Knowing my personality, Serena and Jay love each other. Knowing David's personality, I think you put David and Serena in the room together, they're going to absolutely butt heads with each other.
I hope that's not a knock on my personality compared to the two of you, but I'm definitely, I definitely like to, you know, just be a little, observe some people. I like to see, you know, see if I'm picking up what they're putting down. And I got to say, listen, I know our listenership's 80% female. I know that there's been some instances in the past, Rich BFF is one, where maybe I came at her a little too hard for her drive to be successful. But I got to say, my biggest question with you, knowing Serena, okay, you know her off podcast. I only know her on podcast, what I saw, what I listened, okay? She is the dubbed queen of confidence. My question to you is she like that off camera? Because a lot of the things that she was saying seem manufactured. And I want to get in the conversation of manufactured confidence over genuine confidence. And do you need to manufacture confidence before you get confidence? And I'll tell you if you where some of those some line drops that she had, where I'm coming from with that.
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear the line drops, but I think what I know of Serena is this is true and true just who she is. You know, I went on a trip with Patron with her. We went to Jalisco, and I mean, this is just her personality from like the core to the outside. And that's why it works. And I think as she's had success with it, of course, she's probably even like stepped into that more and more. But I mean, you heard her at 21 before the Instagram fame, before anything, she's like, I'm fucking Serena Kerrigan and we're going to do this. This is just who she is. David, I'll even give you this
it's
perspective.
Crazy.
Like, hey, yeah, let me give you this though. This is just who she is though. I know you're like, is this fake? I'm like, no, this is fucking her. This is hilarious. And Serena, if you're listening to this, I mean this in the kindest, sweetest way, because this is you. It's not a bash on you. And this is the stuff I talk about. And quite frankly, I think it probably should have been done anyway. So it's a good learning lesson, Serena, if you're listening. But Serena's team asked her to come on to Trading Secrets, right? So she came on to Trading Secrets. We were excited when her team put the request in. We're like, absolutely. But then right before the episode, her team reached out to our team and was like, hey, so can you send us all the transportation information? And my team was like, what? And they're like, well, yeah, you got to send her a car. And my team's like, wait a second. You've done 150 podcasts in your life. You've had, you know, some really big names on, and no one's ever requested a car. And they're like, I thought she requested to come on your show. And I was dying laughing. I'm like, that's Serena Kerrigan. Well, like that's. But I'll also say this too. I did her boyfriend's podcast, Felix, the next day. And he sent me a car. And then I was thinking, they actually got in my head a little bit. I'm thinking like, wait,
that is kind of like a, it seems like a standard of like, almost like a classy move to do, like send a car for your guests. So I, you know, I'm learning things from Serena.
Well, the person who reached out to you for the car was probably the COO. And when you asked her, said, you have a COO? She goes, I'm Serena fucking Kerrigan. This is an empire, baby. Like she had a couple of those lines there where she's just like, I want her, she wants her birthday party to be like the Met Gala and the white party. It's SFK's birthday. It's her weekend. It's her Super Bowl. You know, where can I find the card game? She goes, it's on, oh, it's on letsfuckingdate.com. Duh. I'm a smart, independent bitch. It's just like, I'm like, holy man. Like this, maybe for me, maybe that's my, maybe it's a me issue. Maybe I'm just a little intimidated by someone who does have that genuine confidence, and you can't help at the end of the day but respect it, because when you have that confidence and you have the experience and you have the knowledge that she has, she is like, she's a triple threat when it comes to that, that, you know, her success and her career and her experiences and you know, overall just super, super impressive. But my biggest thing listening to this, I'm like, This can't be real. Is this real? But you're telling me it's real.
It's real. And I will tell you this, like, I think spending time with her, I kind of walk away and I'm like, okay, I need to be a little bit more confident. I loved what she said about like, just because you feel a certain way about yourself or feel down, that's fine. That's a feeling. That's temporary, but never, ever put yourself down. And I feel like when I talk to Serena, when I learn from Serena, when I interview Serena, I walk away a little bit more confident. Now, David, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here.
Please do.
My thesis is going to be a bold one, and I want you to respond to it.
Okay.
My thesis is David Arnowitt does not at all gravitate or like massively confident individuals. And I'll even go back to this. I don't think when you, and I'm, you and I have never talked about this, but when we were in college, you know, like you were the guy on the hockey team. Everyone loved it, funny guy. I was the loud or one of the loud guys on the soccer team. Like we were both big personalities at Geneseo, right? If that makes sense. I don't like, I always got the idea that like, what, you didn't fucking like me, right? You're like, who the fuck is this guy thinking he's the shit on the soccer team? Obviously we met, we connected, we bonded, but like, I don't think you like confident,
all right,
loud personality.
No, you are 100% onto something. Okay, you're not right in any means. Here's my take on that. When I see someone that's big, bold, and loud, I need to observe. I need to understand where this is coming from. And if I care enough to do my homework, I don't care about homework, but if I care enough to want to interact and get to know them and see how they treat other people and get a little bit of understanding how they are in certain settings, my biggest, it's funny, like, Jay Sarisha, my best man at my wedding, we were absolute rivals at Quinnipiac University freshman year, absolute rivals the first month of the year. And we ended up being roommates and best friends and best man at my wedding. People that are like overly confident, I just have to understand them. And if I can connect with them and I can get past that first layer of like overall brashness, I end up having 10 times more respect for them and want to connect with them more, because that's just, you know, I'm a little stubborn. I'm a little hard-headed with that. But I just have to understand it because, as you know, especially probably in your world, how many people try and have that confidence, but it's a show. It's a facade. It's fake. And those are the people that I can't stand. When you have this bravado, when you have this confidence, you have this energy, and then when it's just you and I in a room or we go out for dinner and I can get in the weeds with you, then you're my favorite person in the world. So if my feeling is that if you feel this way about Serena, Hawk feels this way about Serena, I'm doing my thing right now. I'm just trying to get a sense of it. Serena, when I meet you, I guarantee we're going to hit it off. I can't wait for that day.
Yeah, it's almost like a compliment if David is hesitant from you. From 100%. Like, and I think that's, you know, to, so, you know, we, on your Rich BFF, there were some reviews saying like, oh, you know, it's just because you're being misogynist. That is not, there's not 1 ounce of misogyny in David Arnowitt.
No.
It's gender neutral. It's just in general, super confident people. I think you first push back. And then once you get to know them, like you give them the biggest hug and they become your best people in the world.
I think the super confident people want people to push back on them so they can then show other sides of them. I think the super confident people, when people push back, they get defensive and they get angry and they get ugly. It kind of proves the point that it's a little bit of a facade. So, you know, I think that that's, you know, that that's the secret sauce to these confident people, is having the experience, having the wholesomeness, having a genuine side to them to back up the confidence, which at the end of the day leaves that person be like, wow, I really respect that person. I want to be around that person more. I connect and relate to that person. And now I respect them that much more.
I love it. I love it, David. All right, my man. I got to be up at Todd Graves' suite in just a minute here, getting ready for F1. So let's wrap with this. Biggest takeaway from Serena Kerrigan. I'm going to go first.
Yeah.
My biggest takeaway from Serena Kerrigan is no matter what you do or say, think fucking bigger. Think louder. Think bigger. Achieve at levels you never thought. When you say it, it will come to fruition, or at least some things will happen to put those things in motion. I looked at her like four heads when she said she's going to win an Oscar. I couldn't believe when she said it's going to make her birthday party the Met Gala. I'm like, there's no way. But it is literally that exact confidence in manifesting and speaking into existence that makes something a reality. And if you do not believe that you could achieve it, I promise you no one else will, and no one else will help you get there. My takeaway, never speak poorly about yourself. Speak things into existence. And when you think you have a goal, stretch that goal 10x, because even if you don't get to 10x, you'll still land at where your original goal was. Those are my takeaways from Serena. How about you, David?
Those are amazing takeaways. I agree with them both. I loved how she said in her trading secret for dating that you have to complete yourself. You have to complete yourself. You have to be at the place where you're actually able to love yourself enough to know that you can be a loving and supportive partner. Kind of goes with what you guys talked about with the career. She goes, if you know why you're the person for anything, for that job, for that career, for that opportunity, for to go on that date to be a partner with that person, if you know why, that's what you have to actually be successful in those things. So I thought those were really, really, really interesting. And, you know, to wrap up this conversation, the last half of the episode, it was the half of the episode that proved to me that she's got a lot of depth into her that matched the first half of the episode where I was like, who is this confident coming at me? There's no way, this volcanic energy. But overall, super successful. And just one of those guests where you're like, wow, I can't wait to see what she does next because, you know, she ain't slowing down.
She ain't slowing down. I like that. It's the first time it's ever been dropped on this podcast. Volcanic energy.
Yes.
That one is here to stay. And guess what else is here to stay? More than money. Now, we have listened to your feedback. You guys give us 5 stars. And any feedback you write in those reviews, good, bad, or ugly, you will have our attention. And you know what I think we're going to get back to is the influencer giveaway closet. So go give us 5 stars. Give us a review. And I have a whole lot of things from the influencer closet I need to give away. So go give us those stars. We'll give something away next week. And the one thing I'll tell you, David, is in those stars, people are saying like, hey, more than money, I love the concept, but like, let's not have a trading secret in more than money. Let's have something else, right? Let's start shaping this. So we're going to take that feedback. No more actual trading secrets in the more than money episode. We're going to continue to get more structure. And the best compliment you could do, the best compliment you can give us is 5 stars, a review. And please, please hit subscribe on the podcast, on Spotify, on Apple, and on YouTube. That helps us out tremendously. David, anything before we wrap?
No, we are good to go. Great episode. Enjoy the F1. Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. Thank you for tuning into another episode of Trading Secrets, one you couldn't afford to miss.